Hey guys, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast like I'm doing here? I used to have a radio show on the internet and I absolutely loved it. The downside was I had to pay to be the host. I had to pay a lot of money. I loved my show and I still had lots more to say. I just didn't want to pay so much to have conversations with you. That's when I found Anchor. I am so excited because Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing my own podcast. Instead of me paying out a lot of money, I have the potential to get paid for using my voice and talking about what is important to me and hearing your stories. I love connecting with all of you, and Anchor has given my voice to you. So if you're ready to start your own podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Thanks for joining the Gay with God community. Namaste and welcome to Awakened Hearts. I'm your host, Midge Noble. It is my intention that you live a heart wide open, abundant, and joy-filled life. I believe that everyone is on earth to serve a sacred contract. I believe that we are all created to be compassionate, loving, and kind to ourselves and to all living souls. I believe that we can awaken our hearts and heal old wounds. I believe that we all have the power to transform our pain into our most authentic, spiritual, compassionate, and best selves. I believe we deserve to feel empowered, to speak up and set boundaries and be valued by those we love and respected by those we meet along our path. That is our journey here at Awakened Hearts, and you are welcome here. So glad to have you here tonight, and I'm very excited to bring this new segment to you guys at Awakened Hearts. What's been on my mind most in the last few days is probably the same thing that's been on everybody else's mind, the upcoming election. So I want to take a different kind of twist if I can, and I want to think about how do we waken the hearts of our youth? You know, I work with kids all the time and I work with their families. And over the years, it has become very evident to me that these changing times are really beginning to take their toll. But I believe that in all things, change can happen. I believe that, as I've said before, unless we're below ground and we're not breathing, there's an opportunity for change and there's an opportunity to reach for something better. So as I'm thinking about everything that our kids are experiencing right now, the compassion that I would like to see in the world is being challenged by all of the other things that these kids are having to deal with. So although this is going to be relevant for all of us tonight, the people that may also benefit from this the most are you young mothers who are just now beginning to start a family and your child has not been tarnished yet by the negativity of the world and some of the things that are happening. So if your children are grown, I would ask for you to consider, you know, passing this on to your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren. And if you're a young mother, you have this bright, shining, giggling, alert, active child that is just beginning to come into their earthly experience. They've come to us from that sacred cocoon of bliss. And now they're here. They have no idea that there's an election. They have no idea of what suffering has happened on earth at this point. All they know is that somebody's smiling at them and goo-gawing at them, and they're getting fed and they're getting changed, and their life is perfect at this point. Or at least that's what we hope for all of the new babies. But their older kids in the world are not getting it so nice right now. They are bombarded by images on social media. They are getting all of this intrusive information almost 24/7, unless it's regulated by the parents, and it is just coming at them so fast. Images of violence, images of too much sexual content, images of smart-mouthed, you know, youngins making fun of their parents, and the cyberbullying that is just horrendous. So these little babies, they don't know any of that stuff. And how do we protect their innocence while still giving them a sense of living in the culture that they've been born into? You know, I hurt for the youth today because the expectations for them are so high. You know, when I was young, we didn't have any of this, you know, technology that's so awesome because I'm coming to you, you know, through technology. And I love that. I love the fact that I can text someone quickly and get a response. I love that we can pop images on social media and share with each other, and that I can have friends all the way around the world that I never would have met or connected with had we not had this great technology. But with this great technology also comes an interference of deep connections and compassion, because we can quickly shoot off our mouth and say something ugly to each other, and it's just out there. We may not ever have to face that person. We may not ever have to take responsibility for what we did and how we tore somebody down. But the greatness also comes with that negativity, and we are the keepers of this technology. We are the ones that get to decide not only how much we are impacted by it, but also how do we protect our kids with all of this happening. You know, when they're able to see the adults of this world backlashing at each other, making fun of each other, tearing each other down, this is a generation that's going to be leading our nation. This next generation, I've often said, you know, when I'm too old to spit, you people are going to be voting and you people are going to be running the world. And I would love to know that the folks that are coming up behind us have a connection to our planet, have a connection to our fur babies, have a connection to each other. And we have to be the ones to lead that. So for you young mothers out there with your little tiny shiny baby, you are also raising a generation of young people that are going to be able to make an impact. You know, I'm a little disappointed in the impact that's been made lately, but I also know that we have to go one way before we can go the other way. And so I want to believe that compassion is going to return, that a sense of sanity is going to return, and that we can once again be a nation that can be a leader in kindness and doing the right thing. So, yeah, the fears that our kids are facing right now are just so huge. I mean, they have school shootings, you know, global warming. They're wondering if there's going to be enough money left over for them when they get ready to retire. They're already thinking about that. You know, I've had kids that actually fear going to school because they don't know if somebody's going to come in their school with a gun. And it's not something that I can say, oh, that will never happen. You know, what can we say to the kids today about, you know, what is going to happen? You know, it's really a difficult situation right now. But the one thing that I know for sure, and I don't mean to sound like Oprah, but I love it when she says that. But the one thing I really do know is that nothing is permanent. Nothing is permanent. So even though, now I know extinction is permanent, unless, you know, they're doing this weird stuff in labs nowadays, so who knows? But, you know, But of these choices that we're making right now, you know, siding with hate or siding with peace and compassion, whichever way it goes for a little while, that doesn't mean that's how it's going to stay. I believe that down in my core, that things can always change, but it takes a collective consciousness for that to happen. One person can start a movement, but the movement has to be joined by like-minded, light-filled people to make this happen. That's where we come in. Not only for you new mamas who are raising these babies, but for all of us to be the village that supports those children. So compassionate living is not just about, you know, feeling good. It's active. Compassionate living is putting something in action that's actually going to make a difference for other people. It's a deep caring for other people, cheering them on, rooting them on, wanting the best for them. And it's just not the people in our family. You know, when we take that to a global consciousness, every person that's here is connected to us in some way, and we are all here to make this experience work. So when we're thinking about raising compassionate kids, it really does start in the womb. The connection that these moms have with their babies in the womb is the very first indication that child has as to what life is going to be like. Are they going to be ignored? Are they going to be neglected? Are they going to be surrounded by drugs and alcohol? What happens in the womb is their first indication of what life on the outside is going to be like. So taking care of our bodies, making sure that we're making the best situation before our babies even get to, you know, a life outside of the womb. And then, you know, when we're talking about making that first connection, making sure that our babies know that they can count on us, that's face-to-face, eye contact, being there, being present, being aware, and making sure that baby knows that when they need something, you're there to fill that need. That basic line of trust that if I need you, you have my back. Babies can sense, you know, they know, just like animals know our intentions, and they can feel our energy. Babies are very, very aware. You know, so one of the things that I love to see is when babies are able to be held by other people. But I also want to make sure that people understand that to raise a healthy child, if they have a sense that they don't want to be around a person or they're not feeling huggy that day, that we don't force them. We don't force a child to give an intimate hug to someone that they don't know or that they don't trust. They may not even know why they don't trust that person, but we really need to be careful about making a child engage in some kind of action like that if they're really not, you know, giving you any indication that they're open and ready to receive that. So forcing that is not a healthy thing, in my opinion. I think that it does a little bit more damage. You know, kids are going to naturally, you know, want to hug other people, you know, if that's what they're made to do. But we have some kids with challenges, like on the autism spectrum, or kids that have not had a good experience in the womb, and they may have some other things going on. And we need to be really sensitive and let that child lead us a little bit so that we know what their comfort level is. But as they're growing and they're exploring, and I'll just say that my niece is doing the most awesome job with my great nephew, because she and his daddy are giving him all of the experiences that he can possibly have. I mean, just to watch, you know, him be able to explore at the beach and to find new animals and to, you know, just play. And he's just having the best life. And I'm so happy for him. And I just love it when I watch how my niece just adoringly looks at him. The love, and I mean, it is so palpable. And I just love watching her love him because it's just so beautiful. And so, you know, a great shout out to her and her husband. And it's just amazing to watch this new little life just having the best time, just the best time. And that's what it's all about, to be present, to take your child and walk with them, you know, watch them explore, you know, cheer them on, give them all of that, you know, praise and encouragement. And it's going to take them through all the hard times that are going to be happening in the next few years of their lives. You know, we can teach kids to be fearful, or we can teach kids to be powerful. So I believe that sometimes we try to fear kids into staying safe instead of just teaching them how to be safe. You know, when we start to build relationships with other people, we start to have a better feeling of safety because we know that not every person is out to kill us. And sometimes I think we can take that way too far in trying to protect our kids. We take it to a place where now we've just created a fear-based child that can't, you know, they're almost paralyzed with the fear. So to bring compassion to the earth, we have to start remembering that there really are a lot of good people in the world, and we have to help our kids find them and embrace them. You know, if they're living in a home with you where you're fearing everybody and you think everything is bad, then they're going to follow your lead. You know, there is so many good things going on in the world. There are kids that are, you know, raising money for, you know, causes. There are places that are being kind to animals and that are giving kids creative experiences. And there are groups that are out there to support the world and the earth and each other. You know, get your kids tapped in to these things that are face-to-face connections and, you know, something that's serving others. You know, whenever we're kind of down and out and we don't know which way to turn, find out who you can help. I had a great experience one time with this one lady who said, "All I can do is cook, but I love cooking. And when I'm feeling sad, I find somebody to cook for." And I just thought that was so beautiful because, you know, when you're in service to others, she's absolutely right. When you're in service to others, you kind of forget about the things that you're feeling depressed about. And it's a way to not only give to others, but you're also giving to yourself by giving you that feeling of being helpful. So when our kids are growing up, if we're, you know, always allowing them to be stuck on the TV or YouTube or social media with all of those violent games and all of the things that, you know, are kind of not really respectful in a lot of ways, they're not really serving others. They don't understand other people's feelings or how it is for other people. So to be able to stay connected and make sure that we help them make a difference for someone else, they start to understand that their presence on earth matters. And I think that that's the thing that I see missing a lot with the kids I work with, is that I don't think, you know, they always believe that they matter. You know, they're in like large classrooms and you can kind of get lost and you may be comparing yourself to other people who are really gifted in some areas and you haven't been able to figure out what your gift is. Maybe you don't think there is one, so you're not even looking. So, you know, to find a place where you can get your child to understand that they matter, that without them, there's a hole in the earth. There's something that's missing. I was working today, you know, with this concept of how much somebody matters in the family. And I always use the bicycle wheel with the spokes, and how, you know, when those spokes are working and they're strong, and that wheel is going to be healthy. And then if something happens to one of the spokes and they start to break or bend or weaken, then the whole wheel, you know, becomes unstable. And that's the way we are. Okay. We all collectively in our families, and then collectively on this planet, we are all spokes in this big earth experience. And when we're not all cooperatively working and staying strong for each other, we've weakened each other and we've weakened this planet. So when we're wanting the next generation to take, you know, charge and get things done, we've got to guide that. We've got to lead with love and compassion, or they will not know who to follow. And clearly, clearly, in my humble opinion, you know, we have missed our mark. All right. I want so much for us to be able to care about one another, to really deeply care about each other, and to give these kids that are coming up a fighting chance to be able to find their path and also be able to work together with each other. You know, we used to have debate teams in high school, and I don't know if they still do that now or not, but they could have heated disagreements and debate one another, but there were clear rules of engagement, and there were clear ways that, you know, you focused on your point and you focused on making your team strong. And it wasn't so much about disrespecting the other team at all. It was just about you putting your focus on your topic and making it the most engaging topic that you could make it. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have debates where we're focused on our position and making our position strong. It is just automatically about smearing the other candidate. And it's just about getting the biggest dirt. And where's the message? What are you saying that's going to help me feel safe in this world, that's going to make me feel happy and you know, want to serve? Right? So, you know, compassionate kids have to have compassionate adults. And we can blame lots of things for why it's not happening, but nothing in the external world can change how I present myself in my little corner of the world. So I want you to really, really consider that if you have young kids in your home, if you're raising someone, whether they're your kids or your grandkids or nieces or nephews, if you are raising children today, you have got to look at where you stand on compassion and kindness and service. When you are the change agent for that child, change is going to happen. Wayne Dyer wrote a great book called Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. And it is an amazing concept of being able to clear ourselves from a negative place and really stay positive. Okay. So it's also about the Tao and the 81 verses of the Tao, but it really, you know, it's such a great read because it looks at how we can completely change our perspective and get it to a place that is going to be great growth for us and humbling. So if we can use that concept of being able to stay in that significant place of change and make it the most positive change possible, I really believe that we can do this. I really do. I wouldn't be speaking to you about this if I didn't believe it, because I'm all about just saying what I think needs to be said and putting it out there for your consideration. So I do want you to remember that I'd love to hear from you, that You can download the Anchor app to message me in between shows, and I would love to be able to hear what you've got to say. And I also would love to be able to know what direction you would like this show to go. And if there are topics that are of interest to you that we can, kind of hash out and have a good time talking about things that are on your mind as well. Me, compassion has been on my mind for years. I want our children to have compassionate lives. I want us to be able to live in harmony. And people will often say, well, that's just a pipe dream. You know, that's just never going to happen. Well, there have been a lot of people who have been told things aren't going to happen. And many of those people have proved us all wrong. So I'm not giving up. I will not give up on believing that we can be more compassionate. The next generations coming up have a lot of compassion in them, but they also have all of this conflicting, all these conflicting sources that are pulling at that. So as the leaders of your family, as the mothers and the fathers of these young children, you have a chance to make sure that your child sees the two sides of life and that they get to choose where to focus their energy. So we can all focus on all the things that are going wrong. That's really easy to do because there's just a plethora of it out there. But just as we can focus on all of that, we can take our focus and put it on what's going right. Okay. So if we do that, the more we think about what we're focusing on, we're drawing that to us. So that is that law of attraction of what I put out there is going to come back to me. So if I want to live in a lot of negativity, then that's all I have to do is focus on all that negativity. But if I want a life of compassion and light and joy, I need to surround myself with that energy. Find the people who are the light workers. Find the people who are taking the life of compassion. Find the people who are in harmony with their bodies and their mind and their spirit and with this earth. Now, diversity is great. You know, it's not all rainbows and you know, suckers and candy. There's got to be that contrast for us to want to choose one side or the other. So yeah, we're still going to be aware of the contrast, but that doesn't mean I have to live there. I can still live in a place of compassion and kindness. And my balance of that is crucial. You know, so when we're raising compassionate kids, when we're choosing to be compassionate ourselves, we're still going to see things that break our heart. We're still going to hear the news from time to time, even though we try to keep ourselves in a bubble. And we are going to have devastating losses in our families, and we're going to have heart-wrenching experiences. But when we have that foundation of faith, of strength, of compassion, of surrounding ourselves with a tribe of people that are there to support us in the times that are painful, we will not wallow and stay stuck in those moments of despair because that's not where we feel our comfort level. We have to be willing to uproot ourselves from all of the negativity and choose something different. At Awakened Hearts, I believe that our hearts are just yearning to be back connected to the most compassionate place that we used to be from. And, you know, those of us who maybe have a little twist on how we were raised, and we believe that that connection to spirit is palpable. It's not just some concept. It really is, you know, a deep connection to spirit and to a sacred path. And that is something that's being missed a lot today, is that ground, that I don't even know what word I'm searching for at this point, but that foundation, maybe that's what, the foundation of morality and goodness. And only we on the inside can choose what that is for us. But one thing I want to consider for my own life is that, you know, I have to choose between lightness and darkness all the time. But I am grounded. I can feel myself grounded in the light and in the need to be completely filled with a life of kindness and compassion. That doesn't mean that you know we won't spark a temper from now and then, and because that's just the way it is. But the more I live in the light, the more I focus on joy and kindness, the easier it is for me to go there in times of you know struggle. But the tribe is one of those things. You know, we've talked about that before, that surrounding yourself with people that can find you when you're floundering and bring you back. Because we can do it on our own, but it sure is a lot easier when we've got our peeps watching out for us. So not only do we want to choose, you know, between the light and the dark, we need to choose really well for that tribe. And as we talked about that analogy before, you know, who you got in that canoe, and make sure that you fill that canoe up with the right people. So if you have any ideas about what you're doing with your family to kind of tap into compassion and keep your kids focused on being of service instead of just sitting in the rooms with the YouTube and the social media and the war games, please drop me a line and let me know what you're doing that's working. And I would love to highlight that. I would love to bring that to the show, because I believe that there's a lot going out there, and I see a lot of cool stuff. And so I would love for you to give me your feedback. So tonight is all about compassion and kindness and making sure that you are allowing yourself to make a difference in this world and that your kids are watching you do it. So I hope that concept is ringing true for you and resonates with you. And I would love to hear back from you what you're doing in your home. So, I mentioned last week and the last couple weeks that my new online class is coming up. It starts this Wednesday. I'm so excited. Awaken the fire in your soul. I'm excited about the folks who have signed up to be a part of that. And we're going to walk this journey together of really getting ourselves all fired up and ready to leave an empowered and joy-filled life. If you missed joining this class this go around, I'm sure that I'll run this class again. But I'm just so excited about it. So keep listening and keep watching for new things that are coming, new topics. And if you have a topic that you want me to do a class on, feel free to shoot me an email at secondchances@embarkmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook. Or you can message me here at Anchor if you get that mobile app through Anchor. So anyway, I'm excited about the class. I think it's going to be a great experience for myself and for the class participants. And I'm just really happy to start this new journey of doing online classes. So thank you for listening in tonight. Figure out for yourself what compassion means to you. I would love to have your thoughts about that. And I welcome all of your comments. And I just am so happy that we can have this moment to devote just to awakening our hearts and being there for each other. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and namaste.